Thank you, Brother Robert. And it is always heartwarming to see all of you, though still virtually. I trust that now that the pandemic has basically been lifted, that all of you in your various churches are meeting together or seeing each other in person a lot more. And however, due to circumstances and because of our burden to reach all the churches and saints there in Canada, we decided that the Zoom method that we have all gotten so used to is still the way to go. I had prophesied that even after the pandemic, Zoom will still remain. At least for myself, I have gotten so used to it. I wouldn't say I'm addicted to it, but by necessity, it is such a convenient technology. And remember, our dear brother Witness Lee, way back at when in the 70s, when he had the burden to talk to the recovery concerning the one new man, some of you older saints may remember that, he actually cited the use of technology for to advance the Lord's interest. And in those days, that meant the fax machine, which by now is sort of old hat and a dinosaur of sorts. But at that time, it was sort of it's kind of a new thing. And long distance direct call without the help of an operator, the fax machine, we didn't even have the widespread use of even video recording yet. But Brother Lee had mentioned that these technologies are like a dirty camel, this is to quote him, that it is an unclean thing, an unclean animal. However, it can do the job of taking us from point A to point B. And so today, technology, as you know, especially since the invention of the printing of print, that is the first thing that was printed actually was the Gutenberg Bible, and through that, then a powerful invention. The Lord's word was able to spread among many more people and nations at that time. And surely the internet is the modern day equivalent of that printing press invention. And now we have all these different wonderful platforms, including these video conferencing platforms for us to use. And so it is a dirty camel still, because these things are inherently unclean. But we use this just to carry us from one place to another, to help us to do our work in the Lord, to help us to fulfill our ministry. And so I believe this is something that still would be useful for us, even if there's not a pandemic among us at the moment. And the other wonderful thing that this technology been useful, and that is it aids in our widespread global, continental, national, provincial, local blending, right? And this is a great, great thing. In fact, the way for us to truly have the reality of the one new man is through much and thorough blending of the saints, of the members of the body of Christ, of the local churches, of all the leading ones and co-workers in all the different parts of the earth. And the more we blend in a genuine and proper way, the more we will usher in that reality of the body of Christ and indeed of the one new man. So I may be dwelling on this matter a little bit too much, but I am very, very happy and delighted today to be able to meet you all again in this way. This afternoon, I have a particular burden that emanated from the International Elders and Co-workers, Elders and Responsible Ones training this last February, 2 months ago, or three now almost. I was assigned a message to give from the book of Colossians. And one of the points in that message is based on Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And let me read that to you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. And this is a wonderful passage, a scripture that I think we're all aware of. And it has a sister verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. And in fact, here in Colossians, it really should be chapter verse 16 and 17 as one passage. But my brothers and sisters, I have a particular burden, not about all that is mentioned in these verses, but rather in a particular phrase. And I must tell you, in these days, my burden is deep. My burden is strong. My burden after these two, 3 months has been not only unabated, but has been percolating and growing within me. It's not too much to say from day to day. And the particular phrase, and I would call this the topic of today's fellowship, is simply the inhabiting word of Christ. The inhabiting word of Christ. This is a very special utterance by the Apostle Paul, where he said that we must let the word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom. So you have here this very strong and clear thought that the word of Christ, which is the word of the Lord, and which includes the word of the apostles and prophets in the New Testament, all that are included or part of the word of Christ, is to dwell in us, is to make home in us, is to remain in us, is to abide in us, is to house itself in us, is to live in us. And not only so, but to live in us or dwell in us richly in all wisdom. So this cannot be a light matter, a superficial matter. It has to be something that is rich, a rich indwelling of the word of Christ in us. Now, you all know in these days, there is a burden in the Lord's recovery. And we have been promoting this very much, and I'm going to promote this more and more, at least through the rest of 2023. Wherever I go, wherever I have an opportunity, I will do this promotion. and that is to promote the reading of the Recovery Version Bible, the Bible. And fortunately, we have a very wonderful version of the Bible published in the Lord's Recovery called the Recovery Version. And this Bible is a study Bible. It not only have the text of the Word, but it also have the wonderful, rich footnotes, the cross-references, which I cannot tell you how much I depend on, I use on a daily basis in my own study of the Word, and also in these phenomenal outlines that comes with every book of the Bible, all 66 books. And this is in part due to a 20-year-long study of the Word called the Life Study conducted by Witness Lee. And so especially these footnotes and these outlines came from that study. And all that put together into this Recovery Version, brothers, we have really a gold bar, a huge gold bar in our hands today. Not only the Word, the pure Word of God itself, but the Word interpreted, the Word opened up, the Word untied, the Word unpacked for us fully. Fully from Genesis to Revelation, the entire Bible. Some of us older ones have that privilege and blessing to be actually there in many, many of these meetings where that life study of the Bible was conducted. I count myself one of those blessed ones. And I wish you were all there, but you were not. So you have to take my word. Those 20 years, 21 years or so, it's life-changing, to say the least. It advanced the Lord's recovery so much. And the riches that has been released are now part of a huge storehouse, a rich treasure store here for all of us in the churches to enjoy, to partake of, but not only us, actually, it is for all of God's children, the church of God, all of the Lord's seekers. They now have a place to come to really know the Word, to can come to have the full knowledge of the truth, to come to have their regular spiritual nourishment and supply of life. Brothers and sisters, I even now am doing a little bit of promotional here, and I am not ashamed whatsoever. I feel these days then is a fresh call in the whole recovery to every single saint, to every single local church, wherever they are on the earth, to all come back, as it were, in a fresh way, to read the Recovery Version Bible with all its marvelous features. Oh, I what can I say? I am such a privileged beneficiary of all of this. All of this, I tell you. In it, all of the proper teachings in this church age, all the things that were once lost through the degradation of the church, instigated and carried out by Satan, have been opened up and recovered point by point. Item by item, especially in the past 500 years, are all contained here. All contained here. And not only so, layer over all those that interpretation is this great thing called God's economy, the divine economy, the controlling thing that is revealed in this word, as far as what is in God's heart, as far as the outworking of his eternal desire, as far as the execution of his purpose on the earth, that is to blend and mingle and unite himself with man, so that man would have him, know him, experience him as life and as everything, to the extent that God and man would be fully joined and mingled in life and nature for all eternity. In this way, God will be the very source, man will be the very expression of this God, this triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, built up together to be one divinely human structure. That is the church in this age, the body of Christ, the new man, and in eternity, it will be that glorious holy city, the new Jerusalem, where God's eternal desire is consummated and realized in an ultimate form. Brothers and sisters, all this are contained in this word, and all this have been opened up and revealed to us. It's all there. You don't need to go and actually read so many other books. In fact, some of these other books may have a way of distracting you into some other things, away from the central lane of this economy of God. I guarantee you, if you get into the recovery version, you read it daily. You read it all the time. You study the word, you read the word, you pray over these things, that, my goodness, you will have a blessed life, and you will be kept in this economy of God. And not to mention, you'll be daily nourished and supplied and energized, and you will have your mind renewed to know the things of God, the mysteries of God, which is Christ, and the mystery of Christ, which is the church. You will know, for example, what is the New Jerusalem. It is not heaven that we are going to. It is something much more glorious than that. It is the result of God's work in the last 2,000 years. In fact, in all of time. You want to know this? You want to appreciate this, brothers and sisters? It's all in this Bible. So I would like to start even this message this afternoon to really promote this. I hope the leading brothers will take the lead to do this. I have given to the lead, many leading ones, outlines and ministry portions that would help you to guide the saints in this way. I hope all the churches in Canada would rise up with a burden to really have a fresh new start. Okay, we have just passed through a terrible pandemic. We're emerging from pandemic. Let's pick up where we left off in 2020. No, don't do that. It's time to go forward. There is a new day in front of us. There is a new move of the Lord in front of us in his recovery. There is a new season of the Lord's work in Canada there. And in your life and in my life, I hope we will pray to the Lord, consecrate ourselves anew to the Lord, and say, Lord, now it is a new season. The pandemic is over. I'd like to have a new beginning with you. I'd like my marriage to have a new beginning, my family to have a new beginning, our local church to have a new beginning. The church meeting should be refreshed and renewed. My service has to be refreshed and renewed. Lord, do this in Canada. And I tell you, if you have that heart, if you have that burden, I will point you to a place to start. The place is none other than the Word of God. So come back. Brothers, lead the brothers and sisters. Don't take this for granted that the saints know what to do. Guide them, hold their hand. Help them to read the Bible, to read the Bible, to pray the Bible, the Word. I'm going to get a little bit into that, not fully. To muse on the Word, to study the Word. I tell you, dear brothers and sisters, the Word is the Holy Word. This is called the Holy Bible. Its nature is holy. It has a sanctifying power and effect. Let's spend less time on many of the things around us that is defiling, that is time-wasting, that does not build us up, that will only make us worldly, make us common. Let us spend more time in the Bible. I like to see in the churches everywhere I turn, there are brothers reading the Word. There are sisters reading the Word over Zoom, at Starbucks, in your home, with your family. Include your children. Let the Word be everywhere. This was charged by Moses from Jehovah to Israel before he passed away in Deuteronomy. At that time, they don't have all the entire Word. They just have God's law, the Old Testament Word of God. And they were to talk about that Word. They have to write these things on the doorposts. They have to write this on their hands. And they have to sleep with it. They have to wake up with it. They are people that are just immersed in the Word of God. And that makes them a holy people. That makes them a holy nation. That separates them from all the other nations of the earth. They are a peculiar treasure to God. And brothers and sisters, in this more and more crazy, insane, dirty, perverted world that we're in, what will keep us? What will make us a holy people? A holy priesthood, a royal priesthood. What will make us that? I tell you, the beginning place is the Holy Word of God. The other thing we would promote at the same time is among all the wonderful ministry in print, particularly the life studies. The life studies. Oh, brothers and sisters, we have these wonderful life studies of 66 books. I mentioned already, given over a period of 20 plus years, you just don't know the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured into by the servant of the Lord, standing on the shoulders of all the teachers those proper teachings that they preached, and all seen from the angle of God's economy. My brothers and sisters, I am just running out of words. Go there. That life study opened up the whole Bible for you. And get into book. I don't know what you're doing now in Canada, the whole country, or one province, or some cluster of churches. Get into these life studies. it changed my life. It made me what I am today, brothers. For the older saints, you might have gotten into them. You need to get into them again, and you will soon find out as if you have never got into them. It's like that. It is so living and so fresh. And for the younger generation, I need not say, this is what you need. I know there are many, many books there you can read, and you should read them. Many classic books, Brother Nee, Brother Lee, but I especially want to recommend the Life Studies. So we even have an app called 500 Life Studies that will help you to track your reading, to help you to read with a group of saints together, to have some accountability and to incite one another in this reading. I will tell you, if you read this life study on a regular basis, you will be helped. You will be helped. You will be happy. You will be a delighted person. You will be spiritually healthy and energized. And this will not only affect your marriage, your family life, your personal life, this definitely will affect the church life, our meeting life, our service life, because we have the Word of God, the Word of God. I have here in front of me, 26 items, 24 items that expound the rich functions of the Word. And I don't have time today to talk about that. 24 items. If you like this, I would be happy to pass on to you through the elders and the co-workers. We really need a time just to give this message about all the rich functions of the Word. What you cannot do, the Word will do. What you cannot deal with, the Word can deal with. Almost anything that you need, the Word is there. The Word is there. So no wonder it is said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word out of the mouth of God. This word should be our daily bread. It should be our daily diet. We cannot live a day without the Word of God. We should be people like that. And now we have the interpreted Word. We have the unlocked Word. We have the open Word. You don't know this. You don't know some difficult passages in the Bible. You just go to the life studies. It will help you to understand those things. Not to mention how it will at the same time minister life nourishment into you. It will give you discernment. It will give you wisdom. It will give you knowledge. It says in 2 Timothy that all scriptures are God-breathed. So everything that comes out of the mouth of God is not only bread. Everything that comes out of the mouth of God is its own breathing. So the Bible is God's breath. It's God breathing himself out. The Bible actually essentially in nature is God, the Spirit. So when you come to the Word, you handle the Word, you receive the Word, you enjoy the Word, you read the Word, you are coming in contact with God himself. And God's element, the divine element, is being dispensed into you while you are handling the Word in this living way. When you exercise your spirit, when you pray, when you touch the Word with your renewed mind, my brothers and sisters, you come to the Word as an open vessel. You don't have your concepts and ideas. You just open there for the Lord to write his laws into you, even this New Testament law of life into you. Actually, it is by this way we are filled with God. We are dispensed with the element of God that we can really have a life of union with God and be one with God. My brothers and sisters, all this I know sounds basic, maybe it sounds simple, but I feel that we need a revolution of sorts. We need to come into a new season, a fresh entrance into the word of the Lord. Now, today, my burden with this verse is not so much about the essence, the content of the word and or the function of the word, although all this is included, but I am burdened about what the word must do. This word must inhabit us. This word must fill us. This word of God must make home in us. We should not be home to so many things, especially the worldly things, the devilish things. No, we should empty ourselves and we should clean house and let the word of Christ come and dwell in us. To be the residence, to be the very person abiding in us. You know, the word, you know, something dead, something unanimated, especially in, something that is not a person, cannot inhabit. You need a living thing. You need a living person to inhabit. This automatically should bring to your mind the verse in Ephesians chapter 3, in Paul's second great prayer in that epistle, bowing his knees to the Father, asking the Father according to the riches of his glory, and by the Spirit, and through his divine power, to strengthen us into our inner man, with the result, listen, with the result, that Christ may make his home in your heart. There it is. Therein is God's economy in one phrase, that Christ, the embodiment of the triune God, this glorious Christ, would make home in our hearts, would dwell there, would be comfortable there, would call his home there, would be the master and residence and the Lord there. He would fill our hearts, all our inward parts with himself and all of his life and nature and all of his riches, the unsearchable riches of Christ, would just fill our heart. And then it says that we may be filled unto the fullness of God by that infilling, by that joining to us, by him possessing and occupying us with his own person, in our person, that is our heart, we would be filled to such an extent unto, that means we will become the fullness of God. We will become the expression of God. We will become the real church. The church is not just some meetings. The church is not just we having some association and relationship. The church is not just, you know, the meeting hall or this and that. The church is the expression of divinity in humanity, the expression of God in man. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God is manifested in the flesh. How can that happen? How can that happen? How can the church become the house of the living God? How can the church become that pillar and base of the truth, the reality? The only way is for what? This living God is for this living, his living truth. To what? To make home in us. To fill us, to take us over. And the way that happens, how does Christ make home in you and me? I tell you, the answer today in this message is Colossians 3:16. And that is by his word dwelling in us richly. The riches of Christ filling our inner being by the word of Christ dwelling in us richly. So while I am promoting reading the Bible, the word, while I'm promoting reading the life studies strongly in these days, I'm now very burdened about the way you receive that word. Will your going to the word, will your reading of the life studies result in the word of Christ dwelling in you richly? There are people that go to Bible school, they go to seminary, they read this and study that. But that does not automatically translate into the word of Christ dwelling in them richly in this way. So I'm going to spend the rest of my time to fellowship with you about this matter. So you may have an outline in front of you already called the Inhabiting Word of Christ. I'm going to rely on this outline to underscore certain points and make my burden known. In Colossians, this book of Colossians, where this verse is found, the word there is very rich. We know Colossians is the other great book in the New Testament by Paul. The first is Ephesians. The other one is Colossians. Ephesians reveal the body of Christ, whereas the Colossians reveal the head of that body. And in the preceding chapters, all the way from chapter 1 to chapter, mainly chapter 2 and part of chapter 3, you have the revelation, this glorious revelation of this preeminent Christ, this all-inclusive Christ, this all-extensive Christ, who is the centrality, the center, and the universality, the circumference, not only of the universe, but of God himself. Christ is everything that God is. You want to know God? You have to know Christ. And this Christ was wonderfully revealed and presented by the apostle. And I quickly recite this marvelous revelation of who this Christ is. He's the portion of the saints. He's the image of God and the firstborn, both in the old creation and in resurrection, that is in the new creation. He's the mystery of God's economy. He is the mystery of God. He is the body of all shadows. He's the reality of all positive things in this universe. He is the life of the saints. Christ, our life, Paul said. Christ, who is our life. What a great thing that is. And he is finally the constituents of the new man. In the new man, that is the church, there cannot be races. There cannot be classes of people. There cannot be this or that. Because in the new man, Christ is all and in all. This is the Christ that is revealed, brothers and sisters, in Colossians. Now, this word that revealed Christ now must make home in us. This is not just for mental apprehension. We need that. This is not just for mental understanding. We need that. And this cannot just remain as just a kind of vision or revelation, although we need that. This word has to what? Has to find its way into our heart, to live there, to dwell there, to have his home there. Paul's concern for the Colossians, indeed for all of us, is for this revelation, this high and great revelation of Christ unto full knowledge, that we would all fully know. And that is not just an external knowing. This must be an internal experiential knowing of this Christ. That's what why Paul wrote that epistle. For this, my dear saints, we need the word of Christ. You see this? We need the word of Christ. In fact, all these epistles written by Paul and others in the New Testament are part of the word of Christ. So what is the word of Christ? Let's define this just quickly. The word of Christ is the word spoken by Christ, by the Lord. Now, in God's New Testament, in economy, in according to Hebrews chapter 1, God speaks in the Son. It's made it very clear. God speaks in the Son. The Son is actually the word of God, the Logos. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and this Word became flesh, clearly showing us that the Son, the second of the divine Trinity, is the Logos, is the Word of God. And the Word of God simply is the speaking of God, the revelation of God, the definition of God. And so God speaks only in a person. Actually, the word is not just black and white, characters, alphabets. No, the word of God is a person. God speaks in a person, the person of his Son. The Son is the revelation of God. You want to read God? Read the Son. You want to hear God? Hear him, his beloved. God speaks in the Son. And the Son speaks directly in the Gospels. You have to, if you want to read exactly those words that the Lord spoke when he was on the earth 2,000 years ago, you go to the Gospels. He spoke there directly. But the Son here, according to Hebrews, is not just the individual Son anymore of God, but the corporate sonship. That means through his many sons. So God speaking in the Son now is also through his members, the members of Christ, the apostles and prophets in the book of Acts, in the epistles, and in the book of Revelation, that final seven letters, which is really one letter written to seven churches. All these should be considered as the word of Christ today. This is the word of Christ. Now, the word of Christ includes the entire New Testament. Every book, all 27 books. We need, dear saints, in the recovery especially, we need to be filled with this word. This is our need today. If we mean business, we're here for the Lord's recovery. What do we do? First thing, we need to be filled with this word. That means we need to what? Let this word, allow this word of Christ to dwell in us, to inhabit us, to make home in us. Surely, we have to know the truth that is revealed in the word of Christ. But here, Paul's particular expression is, let the word of Christ dwell in us, make home in us, inhabit us richly. Every day, Friends, sisters, I hope we will have this prayer. This day, Lord, inhabit me more with your word, and by this, make home in my heart. And then you need to come to the word, because you said, you pray, let your word fill me, let your word make home in me. So you have to come to the word and receive it and eat it. May I say, to masticate it, to breathe it in, the breath of God, to drink it as the water of life. And we spend our day here and there in the word. And even if the word is not open, the Bible, it is in us. We muse over it. We consider it. Go read Psalm 119. Psalm 119, that whole psalm is about a seeker filling his life, his hands, his mouth, his thoughts, his thinking, his whole being with the word of God. We should be people like that. There are too many unprofitable things around us, filling us, displacing Christ. Now we need Christ to displace these things. How about that? I'd like to challenge all of us to spend less time on our phones, on our digital devices. That is not profitable. Many dirty things, many unprofitable things would come in. And before you know it, it's an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. We don't need to spend the time on social media so much. Maybe do a few emails, do a few texts. Brothers and sisters, you know what we need? We need the word of God to fill us. Now the recovery version is digitized. It's all in your phone. All of the life studies can be found in your phone. This app that if you get it, you can go to the life studies seamlessly, smoothly. Why don't we spend the time in the Lord's word that will clean us up, that will cleanse us and sanctify us and set us apart, that would add the divine element to make us holy, to make us righteous, to make us the true church of God and the testimony of Jesus? Why not? The Greek word here, dwell, render dwell, let the word of Christ dwell, means to be in a house, to inhabit. It's not the exact word as in Ephesians 3, that Christ may make his home. There it's make his home. It's a different word. But there is parallel meaning. There is overlap meaning. This is also to dwell, to live, to inhabit. I hear in the news these days, there are a lot of people that are, you know, their house is empty. They try to sell this house, put it on the market. The next thing is some vagabond, some people on the street come in and get into the house and take it over. And just ruin the house and all of that. And they couldn't get them out. They have to get the police, and even the police couldn't get them out. They have to go through all kinds of legal procedures. Dear saints, I think that is a picture, isn't it? We are that house. And some unlawful, illegal people came in and took it over. His name is the devil. The evil spirits, the evil concepts, the evil things, and all the things of the world, the unclean things came in, mostly through the internet, to occupy our house. This house is built and made for us. And in our case, this is our whole being as a vessel is made for God to fill. It's made for Christ to live in. And Christ has been kept away. Other things have come in. I say in these days, we need to rise up in the whole recovery and expel these illegal residents. Clean up the house again. Renovate it. And invite Jesus in. Invite Christ in. Every day. My, I tell you, your house will be rich. Your house will be full. Your house will be saintly. Your house will be holy. The devil has brought in so many things, heresies, pagan things, human philosophies, worldly ideologies over the centuries into the house of God, so that today the church of God has become a tree filled with evil birds. It has become a dirty, broken, vandalized, illegally occupied thing by all kinds of things other than God and Christ. Isn't it the case? Isn't that Christianity? And here we're in the recovery. What are we doing here? We're here not to be part of that. We have come out of that. We have to clean house. Brunson says we need a spring cleaning. We need a post-pandemic clean house cleaning. Personally, our church. And we have to open the doors again and say, Lord Jesus, you come in. You're the owner. You're the legal resident. This house is yours, belongs to you. You redeemed this house. You repurchased this house by your own blood. It's your property. I have no right to fill this with anything. I just want your word to inhabit it. I want you to move in. The word dwell has that meaning. So the word of the Lord must have adequate room within us so that it can operate and minister the riches of Christ into our inner being. You know, the word have to have a way to get into, to sink into, to be what? Received, to be assimilated into you. Then once it is in you, all the rich ingredients, all the nutrients, all the good things of this word, and it is abundant, right? It is God himself. It is the Spirit. It is life. It is all the riches of this Christ will have a way to operate there and to dispense the rich, all these things into all the inward parts of us. Our mind, our emotion, our will, through the word of God and by the Spirit of God. And we will see that this Logos word, Christ, the living word of God, through our reception, our assimilation, will become the Rhema word of God, the Spirit word, the word that is the Spirit that can come into our hearts, our spirit, and into our hearts to what? Be dispensed into all our inward parts, renewing those parts, transforming those parts, filling those parts. Now here, let's go to the other word that is let the word. Let the word. Very significant, this word let. Let the word dwell. We just talk about dwell. Now let. It says you cannot, in this outline, you cannot let a table dwell in you. You cannot let a stone dwell in you. Those are dead things. The word dwell is a verb of dignity in Greek, proving that Paul regarded the Lord's word, the word of Christ, as a living person. let the word of Christ, this is a living person, a dignified person, a noble person, a high person that is Christ himself. Let this one dwell in you. And so the word let means you have to do something to allow it to happen. You have to what? You have to clean up your house. You have to ready your house. Then you have to open the house. You have to open the door. You have to let, you have to allow, you have to invite this person, this word into you. I told the brothers when I gave this message in Itero that this let is not a passive let. You don't sit there and let. No, it's not like that. You aggressively let. You know, a good host that provides hospitality is very busy, very active to prepare the house in every which way for the guests to come in. And here, we're not even doing something for a so-called guest. We're here preparing a house for the host to come in, for the resident himself to come in. We have to actively let. That means every day, all the time, we have to cooperate with this word. We have to open to this word. We have to invite this word. We have to deal with this word and let this word penetrate. Let this word come into every nook, every cranny, every corner, every bedroom, every part of this house. That means what, dear saints? That means we have to have an obedient heart. We have to be ready to say amen to this word. We have to keep and heed the word of Christ. We have to let it come in. This word wants to spread in us. This word wants to get into more rooms in us. We cannot say, no, you can only go to that room and not this room. We have to open up every part. And when this word shine, when this word expose, we have to confess our sins and shortcomings. When this word enlighten, we have to submit to that light and obey that light. And this, when this what this word wants to do something in us, move in a way in us, we have to say yes to this word. So it's not just reading the Bible, not just even praying the word. It is the follow-up work to let continuously this word of Christ to come into us further and deeper. And by this, brothers and sisters, this word will truly become living and operative in Hebrews 4. You know, some people, they read the word is not operative in them. It's not living in them. Some other saints, when they receive the word, you see in their lives, that word functions in them. That word works. That word operates. The word is living and operative, sharper than a two-edged sword, to divide soul and spirit, to expose, reveal the intents of the heart, because the word is light. The word shines. But oh, when that word does that work in us, would you allow it to do it? Would you welcome it? Would you cooperate with it? When I was young, I testify this many times, the Lord gave me the mercy to pick up the habit after every message. Especially in those days, Brother Lee gave message. Inevitably, there will be 1, 2, 3 points that hit home in me. May not be another saint. This other saint may receive another word that shine in him or expose him. But to me, that logos word spoken became rhema word that operates in me. You know what I do? Right away, I don't wait for tomorrow. That night, I would spend some time, 15 minutes, sometimes half an hour. I would just be there musing on that word again. We call it chewing the cud. I brought the word that I have swallowed and put into my stomach. I brought it up again and digested again to ruminate on that word again, to muse on it, to further consider it again in a prayerful way. And it is in those moments that word begin to operate, begin to work more and more in my being, in a very specific way to my circumstances, in a very specific way to my need at that time. And by giving the Lord this way, the word, that means really Christ himself, would make home in that particular area of my life. The Lord may be speaking to you about your marriage through his word. The Lord may be speaking something about your speech, about the way you did certain things, your attitude. Would you obey that word? And sometimes the word that came into us very positively anoints us by the anointing spirit to do something, to minister something, to shepherd someone, to I don't know what, so many things. You learn to heed that word, to let that word have more of a way to dwell in you. I tell you, over time, my mind becomes renewed by that word. My emotions are regulated by that word. My decision making is absolutely affected by the word. I tell you, Christ is making home in my heart through his indwelling word. In this passage, the infilling of the spiritual life that overflows in praising and singing, you know, this is in verse 17, you know, after the word filling us richly in all wisdom, it says teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. What a life, what a vital living. It doesn't stop there. In verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father through him. I mean, imagine, this is a life that is full of thanks in the name, that is in oneness and union with the Lord Jesus. Whatever in word or deed, you just are overflowing. You are just gushing out with this infill spiritual life of yours, manifested in praise, in songs, in thanksgiving, in prayer, in speech, in teaching, in admonishings, all these things, it just comes out. I said already, this is similar to Ephesians 5, 18 to 20, where it says there, this infilling and outflowing of the spiritual life is related to the spirit. Whereas in these two verses in Colossians 3, it is related to the word. But eventually, I will tell you, the spirit and the word are just identical. They're just one in the same. When you're filled with the spirit, you're filled with the word. When you're filled with the word, you're filled with the spirit. When you outflow the spirit, you outflow the word. And when you outflow the word, the speaking, the prophesying, the teaching, the admonishing, the spirit comes out. When we receive the word of God, dear saints, we actually receive the spirit. This is why we don't just analyze the word, just study the word. We do that, but we firstly pray the word. To what? receive the word into us through prayer. This is Ephesians 6. Receive the sword of the Spirit by means of all prayer. When you receive the word of God, that word is the Spirit word. That word is that operational sword, that functional sword that can kill the enemy, that can slay the self, that can deal with so many things, can divide and discern so many things. When we receive the word in this way, we actually receive the Spirit. I hope when we read the Bible, even when we read the life studies, there would be this kind of exercise and this kind of effect. And all this reception, this kind of digestive way, assimilative way of receiving the word of God will stir us up for sure and will cause us to be joyful, to sing and to praise. A normal Christian life, dear saints, should be one that is filled with the word in this way so that the Spirit can bubble up from within us with melodies of praise. You know, in these last 10 years, I just got into a lot of writing hymns. Actually, the writing of hymns are all the result of my musing on the word. And so these hymns are full of the word of God. You know, I wrote that hymn, O Morning Star. If you sing that song is just 1 Peter about the morning star. I did that with the help of the footnotes, with the life studies. That word got into me. I let that word dwell in me to make home in me. And out comes the overflowing of that word, which is the Spirit in my song. I'm not saying I'm such a great songwriter, but I'm giving you my humble testimony. Dear saints, we all can do that. We all should do that. So when you come to the meeting of the church, you're not silent. You're not empty. You're not poor. You are overflowing because every day in your life, you're receiving, you're letting the word of Christ dwell in you. And those who come empty-handed are those who didn't do that. And that is abnormal. That is unhealthy. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the result of letting the word of Christ dwell in us, to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the result of letting the word of Christ dwell in us, to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, and is related to letting the word of Christ saturate and fill us. You know, check your daily life. Is your daily life filled with giving thanks? It says in all things. That means even when bad things happen, you still give thanks. And not by gritting your teeth, but simply because you're full of the word, you're just overflowing with thanks. Instead of murmuring, complaining, criticizing, that kills us. And the gossiping and rumor mongering that destroys the church. If all the saints are filled with the word in this way, my, everywhere is thanksgiving, is praise. The word of Christ is actually the embodiment of Christ. Christ, the living one, is embodied in the word, making the word the living word. Hence, when the word as the embodiment of Christ is mingled with our being, we are one with Christ. And we spontaneously were able to act in the name of the Lord. Well, I'm already 1 hour and 15 minutes. I don't know what to do. I'm just through one page of this outline. But I think my burden is very much released with you. Let me just cover just one Roman numeral quickly, and maybe I'll just stop there, because you may want to digest this word, fellowship about this word, and I encourage you to do so. Now, the word of Christ must dwell in you. This is the third word, important word, richly. That means not poorly, okay? That means richly. Some saints, they have the word, but you don't sense it's rich. It's just barely, stingily, barely. They come to the word just for a kind of survival. They are not enriched. They're not full of the riches of Christ. The riches of Christ are in the word, brothers and sisters. Now, underline that word I just said. The riches of Christ are in his word. Be practical. The riches of Christ, you may say, where is it? Where are the riches of Christ? You may say it's in the Spirit. Well, where is the Spirit? Even the Spirit can be a bit abstract. But the riches of Christ are all embodied in his word. Now what we need to do is to come to the word and open these riches and translate these riches into the Spirit. And then the Spirit would what? Would spread in us and dispense these riches into us. So it starts with the word. When such a rich word inhabits us, it must inhabit us richly. The word of Christ should have free course within us. We should not simply receive it and then confine it to a small area of our being. One part, one way of explaining this matter richly, it means the word did not just move into your living room. It's in your dining room. It's in your kitchen. It's in your closet. It's in your bathroom. It's in your attic. It's in your basement. It's everywhere, richly, fully. That's one explanation. The other explanation is already, as we spoke, that this Christ in all his unsearchable riches, not just one or two items. Many items I just mentioned. 24 items on the function of the word. My, in such a rich way. Let us all be rich in the church life, in the Lord's recovery, through his word. On the contrary, the word should be given a free course to operate within us. In this way, the word will inhabit us and make home in us. Actually, I spoke about that already. And that is to give free ground, to say amen, to open your whole being. Every channel, every part. Don't let your blood vessels be blocked. Clean up the plates. Let the Lord have a way in us. Let the word have a throughfare, a thoroughfare in all of our being, our psychological being, our heart. Instead of our opinions, concepts, thoughts, and so forth, we should have Christ's word filling us. Many, sorry to say, saints, still after so much time in the recovery, their heads are still full with their opinions, their ideas, their concepts, rather than the word of the Lord. There are people who read the Bible daily, but they're in their living, you don't see the word making home. Rather, you see themselves with their kind of philosophy. I've seen this, even saints who have been in the recovery for a long time. That's sad. That is sad. So let us, dear saints, give the Lord the full permission to move and act and have his being in us through his word. And let him displace all these things, these other things in us. And when that happens, brothers and sisters, the word of Christ will dwell in us richly. I think I will stop here right now. I hope we can have this kind of burden, this kind of a prayer, and this kind of aspiration in these days. May the Lord bless his own word. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Brother Minoru, for all your speaking. I feel that this speaking is so timely, and it is really for all the churches throughout Canada to get into. Now, for the remainder of our time, before we end this meeting at 2:30 in the afternoon, Eastern Standard Time, or at 11:30 Pacific Standard Time, we would have a two-minute confirming word from our brother, Terry Croft.
Amen, saints. I also want to confirm this feeling that this is a very timely word for all the churches in Canada and for all the saints. I believe, as Brother Minoru expressed, there's a fresh call for a fresh way to have a new season of coming to the Word of God. The pandemic has affected the whole world, and we ourselves are also affected by this. But the whole world is looking for a restabilization, a return to normal. But I believe, as the word spoken this afternoon confirmed to us, that this situation is a call to us to have a fresh beginning, an advancing beginning in our coming to the Word of God and in our practice of the church life. That this word, the way we come to the word, would have a change. Oh, that this word could operate within us according to the writings of the apostle. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. My, what a living word this has become this afternoon. Let, and not a passive let, but an aggressive let. Let the word of Christ, this is let Christ himself dwell to inhabit this burden concerning the inhabiting word of Christ, that the inhabiting Christ would become so real to us through his word, that our coming to the word would result in Christ making his home in our hearts, affecting our thinking, our feeling, that we would have a house cleaning. All the improper things would be removed, the illegal occupants in our being that have possessed what belongs to our Lord, who died for us and gave himself and is now living in us and has given us the tangible word. Praise the Lord, the word is the Spirit. But the Spirit we cannot pick up with our hand, and yet we can, because we have the Word. Our eyes cannot look on the Spirit, and yet it can, because we can read the Word, taking it into our being and let it live within us, so that, according to Colossians, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Doing them in the name means we now do it in the person, because this person, through our coming to the word in this kind of way and letting the word dwell in us richly, richly with all the aspects of what this Christ is to us, that now we would be living him, expressing him, and this constitution of this Christ making home in our hearts, would constitute us as the church, the house of the living God, the pillar and base of the truth, that all the churches in Canada would truly be lampstands expressing this God, the mingling of God and man. These are the days. This is the time that he is calling us to come as the open vessels. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And what a blessing it has been to be coming into the reading of the Life Study messages. What a supply and what a fresh enlightening. And that we all would come to the word afresh, that the Lord could have a fresh way, a new season among us in our coming to the word and our experience of Christ.